Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
It's good to have you. Let's just get started tonight with some prayer and speaking our confession about the Word that we love so much. If you have your Bibles with you, you can hold them up and say, "This is my Bible. It's God's Word to me. It strengthens me. It refreshes me. It's medicine to me. I love to read my Bible." And we do. The Bible is the best. We love it. We're so thankful you've come tonight, and I trust the Lord's going to have something for each one of you. The Word of God is enough. It'll touch each life just where you're at, and I believe that that's what's going to happen tonight as I share. And I just want to open up with a word of prayer and invite the Holy Spirit, the teacher, he's the teacher, to minister to each one of your hearts. Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you that we can come together around your precious word and feast from it, Lord, because it is a spread before us. Thank you so much for this precious bread of God that you have allowed us to partake of and share. Father, I pray that each one will go with, as they leave tonight, with a richness in them that they didn't come in with from your word. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. You have a few notes. I don't have many on there tonight, but you have some paper, you have some places you can fill in some areas, because I was a little scattered today. I have to go to a funeral tomorrow, which is a dear friend of mine passed away. So, you know, your emotions kind of get involved in that. But I really trust the Lord that I keep focused. But I apologize, there's not much notes tonight. But anyway, I believe you can add some more. As I was preparing just a few days ago, I just began to think about how precious healing is. It is such a precious gift that the Lord has given us, such a price that was paid. And I just think as we approach the word tonight about healing with that in mind, that it is just absolutely rich to us. Outside of my knowing that I'm going to go to heaven someday when I leave this earth, knowing that he provided healing for me while I'm here on this earth is one of the sweetest things of my life. He has been faithful to me all these years. I have gone through different physical challenges and things that the enemy has attacked me with physically, and God's been faithful every time to heal and to restore me to a good place of soundness in my body. And so that's why we want to share. I know all three of us that teach in here have our hearts are so longing for all of you to get this and run with it. It's so wonderful. But Jesus said, and I think about, you know, the Father's love for us and his desire for us, his children, to be healed and whole and free from the sickness and misery and just the pain of sickness, because it is a misery that the enemy brings against our bodies. And he wants us free. He's a Father who cares. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So we can read about Jesus in the Gospels and see exactly how the Father is. And Jesus healed. He ministered compassion to people. Matthew 14:14 says, when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. That word compassion is tender mercies and feelings of affection and pity. Not a pity like, oh, bless your heart. A pity that wants to relieve. And that's what Jesus was moved with. And it was the Father's compassion that he was flowing in. And so he and the Father, just alike. So would you see Jesus doing something, the Father will do the same thing. And that's what he wants to do for us today. Even as Jesus is with him there, he left his compassion here through his word and through the Spirit of God who ministers his comforts and his love to us. As we are about to observe with Easter coming up, the death and the burial and the resurrection of our Lord, I think it's a real good time to focus on what he went through for our healing at that time. We've heard it in here, and I'm sure you've read it in the Word of God, but I wanted to go over the scripture 1 Peter 2:24, I think, is the very first one that I want to share, because it's looking back to the cross that Peter says that what he saw happen. In verse 24 of 1 Peter 2, it says, "Who himself," talking about Jesus, "bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for God, for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." So we put it in a past tense place that it's already accomplished, it's already done, and it's for us to benefit from. So I wanted to us to look at this. It's painful to read, but we need to really examine Scripture and see exactly what happened when he did go to the cross and took the scourging. It's out of Matthew 27:26, and as you read these accounts, it's painful. I mean, you cringe sometimes at realizing what Jesus did for us and what he went through to go to the cross to die for us. But verse 26 says, in Matthew 27, says, "Then he released Barabbas to them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified." It's a sentence, "when he had scourged Jesus." But if you stop and you look at that and you examine what that meant, oh my, your heart is so touched with his care for us and his provision for us. And I want to read this little footnote in my Bible that describes what happened. It says, "A victim to be scourged was stripped and tied to a whipping post. Then he was beaten mercilessly with a whip consisting of several leather thongs, each loaded with jagged pieces of metal or bone and weighed at the end with lead. Fragments of flesh would be torn from the victims, some of whom did not survive the ordeal." So that really happened. That's really what Jesus did, so that we could have healing. And that makes it so precious, and that makes you appreciate it so very much and not take it lightly when we read this scripture. There's a verse, "he was scourged." But we need to really take to heart what he did, the price he paid, that we might be healed and be freed from sickness, disease, and every cruel thing that he would attack our bodies with. Jesus bore it for us so that we could be set free, and we want to honor him and receive that. And that's why we teach what we teach in here, to see that you can see that and receive that and be blessed by that amazing, amazing provision. But he said on the cross, he said, "It is finished." So that encompassed everything. It is finished. He finished our healing for us. He bore our sins for us. He's not going to do anything else along those lines to come back to earth and do anything else. It's finished. It was perfect. He completed it. He completed everything that the Father had for him to do on this earth. So looking at it, it's a sombering thing. And sometimes we need to really take heart to where we have more of an appreciation for everything he did. Saving us from an eternal hell, oh my, wow. I think we'll be praising him through eternity for that we didn't go there. So we are so thankful. But while we walk this earth, he wants us to walk free from sickness and disease and pain and everything the enemy could bring against us. So Deuteronomy 28:61 tells us that every sickness and every disease that's not even listed in that, in Deuteronomy 28, that talks about the curse, which there are a lot of things there. So it would be good for you to kind of look those curses over, make sure that if there's a specific one, you can just say, "Hallelujah, Jesus redeemed me from that." But even if there's not one listed, you're redeemed from that. You're set free. That's what redemption means. So, but when he said it is finished, it is up to each one of us to do our part. He's done his. It's finished. He did it. The word says that he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, that we have all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that we have more than just this scripture that says it's finished. I mean, there are other scriptures that will that connect us with that provision of for life, walking on this earth. But it's something that he wants us as his children to get into the word and learn what's ours, to be full of faith so we can take everything that he provided, because it's going to take faith, because that's how he operates. It's by faith that we receive everything, every provision. So we have to have faith, but it's not hard to get, because here it is. We just get into this word, believe this word, get this word in our heart, and we can operate in faith. It's not difficult. John 15:7. I don't think that I've ever shared this in healing class before, but I just thought this is such an amazing scripture that I wanted to bring out tonight. Verse 7 of John 15, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will, what you desire, and it shall be done for you. That is amazing promise. If you abide in me, you're abiding in him as you're a born-again believer. You're abiding in him. I mean, if you're a true Christian, you're not going to be this in and out of a relationship with the Lord, backsliding and then getting back in and backsliding, getting back in. So if you abide in him, you stay connected with him. You stay connected with his word. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. There's the key. If your words abide, his word abides in you, you're going to have faith. That's where they have to be. The words have to be abiding in you for you to have faith. Then he said, you can ask what you will. And it'll be done. Of course, you're not going to ask some goofy thing because you're abiding in him and you believe his word and you love him and you're not going to be going outside his will for your needs or for your provisions. So know this, that it's there for you. This is a scripture in red. Jesus said these himself. I mean, everything is his word. But when there's something in red, you know that those came from the mouth of Jesus. So he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will. So I want you to hold on to that, because as we go through the teaching, we're going to be talking about getting that word in our hearts and how we do that, so that word does abide in us. And then we can ask what we will. You know, his will for us is only good. Jesus said, I mean, if the Father will give, natural father will give things to his children, how much more will the heavenly Father give good things to us? How much more? So if you've got a father that was really generous to you, God's more than that. He said, how much more will the Father give good things? So he wants us to be loaded with healing. He wants us to be loaded with wholeness. That's his will for us. Romans 10:17, we're very familiar with that scripture, but that's how faith comes. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So that faith is of the heart. The heart is the spirit of man. The inner man, the hidden man of the heart, is inside. That's where faith has to reside. That's how where the word has to reside. So faith can be expressed. So faith can take what God has for us. We have to have it in our hearts. It can't be something up here. It can't be something you just say, well, that's nice, that's good, I believe that. If you believe it, you are going to act on it. You are going to act like you believe it, not just say, well, I believe that. Where are your actions? Actions are expressed. Faith without corresponding actions doesn't get anything, the Bible says in James. So corresponding actions will be with your what you do, with your, you know, making steps, or with your mouth as well. Words express faith. So all of these things connect us with the truth of how to receive from God. In 1 John 5:4 is a favorite scripture of mine as well. Just sharing from my heart tonight, you know, because God has just been so faithful to me. And I want to see everybody enjoying the healing that is ours, that precious, precious healing. But 1 John 5:4 says, whatever, we could say, whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. There you go. You want victory over sickness? You want victory over anything? It has to be faith. Faith in this word, faith that is expressed in words and actions. You got to have actions if you believe. If you don't have the actions to follow up what you're saying, back up and get back into the word and say, wait a minute, I'm not really believing this. Because if you believe it, you will act. Last time I taught, I mentioned some scriptures out of Proverbs. Well, it was really on my heart to go back there tonight. And that's, you know, repetition is a good teacher. So I'll just go back there again, and we're going to share it a little bit differently because I'm going to bring out a different translation. I think I do have that one on your paper. Proverbs 4. 22-22 at the New Living Translation. And I love how this puts it, because you can so hear, this is a parent-kid thing. You know, my child, pay attention to what I say. If you have children, have you ever told your kids, pay attention to what I say? You're not listening to me. I mean, have you ever gone that route? If you have kids, you're not listening to me. Yeah, no, you're not. Pay attention. And I kind of get that from the father here saying, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Have you ever seen the little Charlie Brown thing where he's like, his mother's just talking like this, and he's just smiling and doing this, and what he's hearing is wah, 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 wah. You know, it's just this, he's not paying any attention. So we have got to pay attention to what he tells us in this word. We have to listen carefully as we study the word of God so that we can have it planted in our hearts, so that we can have the fruit from it, the provision that God has given each one of us. It says, listen carefully to my words. Don't just, when you're reading the word, don't just skim over it. Be careful about how you're reading it. Treat it with respect, because if Jesus were standing before you, you would be very respectful, right? You would have a distant honor. And he is the word. So when we study the word, we read the word, we meditate the word, we need to have that honor and respect. Awe. Like, wow. This is you speaking to me. Wow. That's one of the words that just expresses, you don't know what else to say. Wow. You know, there's just no words. This is what his word is to us. But he says, don't lose sight of them. In other words, don't be haphazard in your study of the word of God. Be diligent. Do it daily. It's daily bread. Man doesn't live by bread alone, physical bread, by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. But it's daily bread. He says, we say that in the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. I've always thought of that as spiritual bread. And, you know, sure, we need natural bread, natural food. But spiritual bread is more important. It really is. I saw a billboard years ago. It was just stuck with me. It says, 7 days without the Lord makes one W-E-A-K. Instead of week, you know, like 7 days makes a week. 7 days without the Lord makes one week. So if we don't have the word in us, we will get weak and emaciated spiritually. People may not be able to see that on the outside, but eventually your actions and your mannerisms, your behavior and your life is going to show that there's not a lot of substance to your spirit. And it says, let them penetrate deep into your heart. To me, penetrating into the heart is accepting it, believing it, and just taking it as God's word to me. This is what he's speaking to me. I appreciate it. I love it. I treasure this word. It means so much to me. So that we have that, allowing it to settle into our spirit, into our inner man, just embracing it like, this is good. This is good. It's like you're eating some kind of really delicious meal and some kind of food that you take, and it's like, wow, that's good. I want some more of that. Well, that's how the word should be, that we just desire it and taste it like that with our spirits. But just let it penetrate. Let it go deep into our hearts to where it affects every part of our lives. Verse 22 of that of Proverbs 4 says, it's the benefit I put down here. The benefit of doing 20 and 21. Verse 22 says, for they, it's God's word, bring life to those that find them and healing to their whole body. So here we go, healing to their whole body. So, and that means mental stuff, because we see a lot of that going on now, a lot of mental problems, soulish. Things that if people have broken hearts or wounds from their lives that they need healing of on the inside. They need those things repaired. The Bible says that Jesus came to bind up the broken heart and heal wounds. I mean, so we know that there are broken places in our heart that can really affect our physical body and affect other things out here. So let God have a full work. Just let it penetrate, receive what you need. If it's a, you know, a sorrow of your heart, or things that have caused your life to be bitter, and you could get angry about some stuff, it doesn't pay to hold on to those things. We need to forgive. Even in Mark 11:25, it says that when we stand praying, forgive if we have anything against anyone. Because if you don't forgive, God's not going to forgive you. And who wants God to forgive them when they make a mistake? I do. So release it. It doesn't do any good to hold on to it. It hurts your own life. Let it go. Give it to God. Say, Father, I forgive. And that's it. You know, and just move on. So you're guarding your heart when you do that. And the verse 23 of Proverbs talks about that. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So it's important that we keep a sound heart. We keep a whole heart. The sound heart's the life of the flesh. So guard your heart. Don't let garbage get in there. Don't let negative things. Watch what you listen to as far as, you know, preachings and teachings. Shut it down. I mean, there's a lot of voices out there that aren't healthy for you, so shut it down. Guard your heart. I like also... Verse 22 says, to those who find them. And I looked at that as a treasure hunt. My husband watches this program. And they're never going to find a treasure. He's been watching it for years. Amen. Yeah. Oh, are you watching it too, Doc? I'm telling you, he wastes a lot of time on that. I thought, have they found anything yet? No. But anyway, they're getting close. It's a treasure hunt. But here's a treasure that you will be able to find is in the Word of God, because this Word is a treasure, and you have to find them. And it's something that sometimes you have to really. You might maybe reading for a little while, and you think, okay, that's not really. I mean, it's good, but I need a certain word, or I need a certain encouragement today. And just ask the Holy Spirit. You know, He's our guide. Holy Spirit, guide me to the Scripture that I need. This is really gonna encourage me today and lift me up and give me an answer, and He will do that, and you'll find a treasure. You will have found a treasure. I love Psalm 19. Talks about His word, and verse 10 says, His words are more to be desired than gold, than much fine gold. So we should desire gold. His word like a gold, like it's a treasure, like we dig for it and we search for it. It is so much fun. It is so much. I mean, I'm sure you've experienced it, but if you haven't, I just hope you begin to really dig for that treasure, for the Lord to speak a word to you that will just really answer things for your life and be just the exact word that you need for the situation that you're in, or the, you know, place you are in life. So it's just a treasure. It's gold.
That treasure hunt analogy is awesome, because while you're hunting for the treasure that you're seeking, you find so many little.
Yeah. 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 You know, it's true.
Wow, I was looking for this, but I'm
gonna
put that in my sight.
Yeah. That can happen. I agree. So, because especially in the Word, that's going to be the case for sure. Thank you. All right, verses 20 and 22 again in Proverbs 4 instructs us as to where our focus should be. Pay attention to his words. Listen carefully to his words. Don't lose sight of his words. Let them penetrate their heart. So we have to have a focus of the Word of God. That's where our focus has to be. And Joy and Derek have both mentioned focus in their teachings lately, and it really resonated with me. I thought, that's important. We have to make sure that we're focused where God needs for us to be in the Word of God as we're paying attention, we're listening. And it sounds like some effort. Yes, it is, but it's worth it. You know, you put forth effort in other things. The Word, oh my, my goodness. I mean, this gives such dividends, so to speak, such richness to our lives, and you'll be closer to the Lord. He'll be more real to you, and this word is medicine to our flesh. Things begin to change in your body that you'll just feel stronger. You'll feel just your body energized because of the word. I know Keith Moore teaches when he used to teach in the healing class at Rhema Bible School. He said there was a woman that came to the class one time that I think she had cancer. And she came week after week after week and just sat there and listened to the word and listened to the word and listened to the teaching. And it was all rich because it was nothing but the word of God. And one day she just was free. They never prayed for her. They never, you know, laid hands on her or anything. She told them, and they just talked to her about, okay, what has happened to you? She said, I guess I just got so full of the word that there wasn't any room for cancer anymore. So that's exactly what the word will do. It'll push out all the junk. And so anyway, I think that's a wonderful testimony of the power of the word, because it is powerful. The word is so powerful. The Message Bible says at verse 21 of Proverbs 4, keep my message in plain view at all times. So I'm going to help you do that. Derek's going to pass out some little cards, some little index cards, and these are for you to take home and find you a scripture on healing. And because you're in healing class here, I'm believing you're wanting healing, take these home, find you a scripture that really resonates with you and just kind of grabs a hold of you, and write it on that card. Keep this card in plain view. Take it to work with you if you have to, on the kitchen counter, by your bed, but as you're going to bed, just keep it in plain view. Keep that word as to focus on that word. And as we're going to read out of Psalm 1 again, talking about meditating. It says day and night. So as you go to bed at night, have that scripture on your card and meditate that before you go to bed. You will have much better sleep, and that word will be working in you, quickening, causing life where there's been pain or sorrow or death or anything negative. That word has life and power. Believe that as you're meditating on it. But focus on that card, and get it really penetrating in your heart, as the scripture says. So it's going to make a difference. You're going to be different. Your body's going to be different. So, because God's word does its work. It's faithful. It's faithful. We don't have to make it do its work. It just does it because it's so powerful. I read this somewhere, but I'm not sure where I read it. This quote, before you can have something different, you've got to see something different. And I really like that. You cannot see yourself continuing on with the condition that you're dealing with. You've got to see, replace that seeing with life-giving words, with what the Bible says about your healing. We just read in 1 Peter 2:24, he, by his stripes, you were healed. And as you replace that negative thought about what you're dealing with, whatever it might be, replace that with thoughts of not seeing yourself that way in the future, going forward. See yourself well. See yourself doing some things you hadn't been able to do. I know years ago we were endeavoring to help someone that had a serious illness, and It came to me one day, I think, as I may have been teaching a healing class, because they hadn't been able to really be real active and do things and go places with their family. And I said, get you a map. Get you a map of the United States. Put it on your wall and say, I'm going here. Yes, that's where I'm going. We're going here. We're going to take a vacation. I see myself going. Replacing negative thoughts, replacing the sickness and the disease with what the Bible says about you. Jesus bore it for me, so he has made a way for me to be free. So I accept that, and I call myself free. So see something different. And I thought of the story of Abraham. We don't have time to go through all of the chapters, but I encourage you to read chapters 12, Genesis 12 through 22. Marvelous story of faith of Abraham. Started out as Abram, childless, ended up as Abraham, having a child and the promise of being a father of a multitude. And we are all blessed because of Abraham, because Jesus came through that bloodline. So Abraham, me. I'm a descendant of Abraham. You are too. So this affects all of us. And his walk of faith, oh, you read so much about how he operated in faith. But it's so wonderful. But I wanted to just share just a little bit, because he started out as Abram, exalted father. And the Lord had told him that he would make him a great nation. That's in Genesis 12. Some years later, Abram was still childless. So he decided to have a talk with the Lord. And he said, I'm still childless, and so how about this servant of mine? Let him be the heir in my home. And the Lord said, no. And he was getting older and older and older. So, you know, it was really a challenge, I'm sure, for Abraham. But God took him, he encouraged him and said, don't be afraid. Can I tell you what you're dealing with? Don't be afraid. God has an answer. He has your deliverance. He has your restoration. He has your wholeness. Don't be afraid. Just stay with God. He encouraged Abram to stay with him. And he said, he told Abram, basically he hadn't forgotten the promise he had made to him, that he would be the father of many. So in Genesis 15:1, it says, the Lord took him outside and told him to look up at the stars. I love this. He got Abram off of his body that wasn't producing a child, off of Sarah, who she was childless. You know, she couldn't have children when she was very young. God got him his focus. So he'd see something differently. He saw stars. He said, look up here. That's the number of your descendants. Can you count them? No. Well, they're going to be that way. So as you look in the Word and you see your provision of healing, look at that and believe that and don't be afraid. God promised this. He promised that I would be free from sickness and disease because Jesus already bore it for me. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm going to look at how he sees me. He sees me whole. He sees me healthy. He sees me walking out my life, living a long life, free. That's how God sees me. So I'm going to see myself that way too. And it paid off for Abraham because he became the father of many nations, which, like I said, we are part of his descendants there because Jesus came through that bloodline. And so it works. God's faithful. You know, it took him some time. I think it was 25 years later. You're not going to have to wait that long. But, but you know, he's an example for us. He's called the father of faith. So if you want to hear, you want to read a faith story, read those chapters in Genesis. They will encourage you so much. They make me excited because that's the same faith that we have. We are chiseled out of his faith. Wow. Okay. We're going to read in Psalm 1. We read this last time as well, so being repetitive, like it's a good teacher. Going over things again and again. When you learn the multiplication table, you didn't say them one time and go, oh, I got it. No, you went over and over and over. And if you had a challenge with math like I did, you wouldn't, you know, it's like, am I ever going to get this? But you will. You stay with the Word because this Word is life, you know. This is life. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, or in the word. And in his law he meditates day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he does shall prosper. That word means he will succeed. If you want to succeed at healing, meditate this word. Get it so in you that you just rise up and say, wow, I've got this. I take my healing. I'm not letting go. Because God's said it in his word. And he didn't lie. And it's mine. And he's my father. And he gives me good things. I mean, you can go through all of those things. Coach yourself. Coach yourself with the word of God. You can speak yourself. If you're having a hard day, speak yourself into a good day with the word. Just say it and say it and say it. But we went over this as well the last time, but I'm going to go over it again about meditating. It's pondering, it's thinking about, it's speaking on, it's muttering. And as you're doing that, you're hearing it. And the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you are hearing hearing the word, that it's your faith is being built up and encouraged. So it's a win-win situation all the time with him. And I love what Derek, I think he got it from Pastor Allen, though. And when it becomes personal, it's powerful. So put your name in it. As you're reading the scriptures, as you're studying the word, put your name in there and make it personal. So it becomes very just alive in you. But see yourself with the answer. I've had to do this myself. I'm not telling you something that, I mean, even if I hadn't had to do it. This is my attitude about the word of God has always been, I don't care if it's working in my life or not, it's true. And it's real, and I believe it. So at some point, I trust it will work. But right now, if it's not, it's not the word's fault. You know, I've just got to get some more faith in me. But I believe the word. Love the word. Grab a hold of the word. Embrace the word. Don't let it go. No matter what's going on in your life, it's a rock to you. It is a life-giving substance to your life. Just hold on to that word. The devil's trying to steal the word from mankind these days. He really is. The scripture, I was thinking about it last night, I think, as I went to bed, or reading. I have a little devotional book by my bed. And it talked about, when he returns, will you find faith on the earth? And I was laying in bed, about ready to go to sleep, and I said, Me. I'm not letting go of faith. You will find faith here, Lord. But it's by his grace and his mercy. And it's not that I'm any great thing, but I just know his word is true. And you can, when he comes, he can find faith in you too. Just don't let it go. Don't let the word go. Keep feeding it into your heart. Let it penetrate into your heart. And you're gonna be a powerhouse. I'm telling you, the devil can't stop you. No, he's defeated anyway, but you have to put him into his place. He likes to push. Oh, he's evil. Faith is confidence. You have to have confidence in what you're believing. You have to know that God says this, so it's right. God says to do this, I can do it. If God says this is going to happen when I believe this, it will happen. So that confidence, knowing that you don't, like he told Abraham, don't be afraid. You know, it will work. Don't let go of me. You know, don't let go. Mark 11:24 is one of my very favorite scriptures. I had this implanted into me, penetrating my heart, almost day one of my coming to know the Lord. I began to listen to good faith teaching, and Mark 11:24 is one that I received healing over and over and over and over again. It says, therefore, Jesus speaking, I say to you, what things soever you desire or ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. You believe that you receive when you pray, not when you see something. Mm-mm. No, it's when you pray. That's what faith is all about. Faith is not seeing. Faith is believing. Seeing will come. If you're in faith, seeing will come. You'll experience things out here that are changed and better and good and recovered. But when you pray, you do it without seeing. out here. All right. I have a few things to go over still, so I better get going here. Okay, before anything changes in your physical condition, act like you've got it. That's faith. Focus on the scripture and not on the symptoms. You act like you have it with your actions and your words. I had a physical attack not long ago, and there's a lot of pain involved in it. I felt it. Wasn't fun. But I just felt the pain, and I said, I don't care what it feels like. God's word says I'm healed, so I'm healed. Pain, you have to go. Because Satan's defeated, his works are destroyed, pain is destroyed, pain comes from the enemy. Jesus bore my pain. That's why you speak all of these things. As you have that word in you and you speak all of these things out of you as you're dealing with something like this, I mean, you've got an arsenal of word that just comes out, and the devil just goes, oh my gosh, I got to get away from this person. They're tearing me up with a word. And that's what it is to him. It's a sword. It just rips him to shred. But go ahead and do it. He deserves it. You know, and he'll leave. God's word is true. He said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. He will leave. He may not leave the moment you rebuke him, but stay in there and tell him, no, you're not winning here. How can you win? You're defeated. There's no way you can win. That's called resisting. Resisting the devil. I love the definition for resist. So I'm just going to tell you what it is again. I know I've repeated it many times in here. It's vigorously opposing, bravely resisting, standing face to face against your adversary, standing your ground. Be tough. Go towards him. No. You're not winning. You can't do this to me because Jesus bore this for me and I'm free. So all of those things coming out of you in your fight of faith, you're going to win every time. And again, it's not that I'm anything. I'm just giving some examples of things that you can do based on scripture that will work. I've had to learn that myself and grow in it. You know, I didn't start off there, but as I continue to believe the word of God and receive his healing, and I would have it every time. I would have it because he says I would. So I would. So it's exciting. It's an exciting way to live. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. The scripture calls speaking what we believe a spirit of faith. So see, you have to be speaking what you believe. Yeah, lined up with the truth, of course. Don't speak things outside of this truth. And don't be duplicitous. Don't speak all these wonderful things 1 minute and the next day you're speaking all these doubt and unbelief and death, and you're just back to square one, and the Lord's probably going, oh, here we go again. We're gonna have to start all over. But he's forgiving, and he'll forgive you. He'll forgive us, and you just get up, stand on your feet again and say, okay, forgive me, Lord, here we go. We're gonna go forward again. So, you know, we're not perfect. We will make mistakes. We will fall on our faces sometimes, but get up and say, okay, Lord, I'm just staying with your word. I believe this, and this is truth, and I'm going to win. Let me see. All right, I think I have a few more things, but it'll wait till next time. I do want to read a story to you, and I've read it in faith class. Sorry, I took your class, Derek. healing class before, but it is so good. But I did want to say, with faith, walking in faith and doing what we are to do is your part. God will always do his. He will keep his word. You can count on him. But it's about an Olympic runner in the 2012 Summer Olympics. And like I said, if you've heard it before, well, it's a good story. I enjoyed reading it again. His name was Manteo Mitchell. He was on an American team. He was was on a four-man relay team. The day before the preliminary races to determine who would qualify to race for the medals, Manteo was running down some stairs at the Olympic Village and felt something kind of strange in his lower leg. He said it wasn't painful, it just felt odd. So he didn't have it looked at by the medical team. So he just went on. The next day, as he was running to qualify at the 200-meter point of the 400-meter race, Manteo felt the bone in his lower leg snap. He said he yelled because of the pain, but with the roar of the crowd, no one heard him. He said at that point he wanted to quit. He said, I just wanted to lay down. But he kept going. He ran until he reached his team member and passed off the baton. And because he didn't quit, his team qualified to race for the medals. And with a substitute for Manteo, of course, they won the silver medal in those Olympic Games. And someone asked him after the race, they interviewed him, and asked him how he was able to keep running on a broken leg. And he said, I just kept saying, as he ran, faith, focus, finish. And there's your word. Have faith, focus, finish. He won. He won a medal. He won a victory. Faith doesn't quit. He was focused on the win and not the pain. And he finished because he was determined to stay until the race until the end. And I want to encourage you, stay into the race until the end. Stay with your healing until the end. Don't quit. Through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. You can't quit. You know, it might be some tough days. I've been there. I know. And sometimes it's like, oh, okay, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your help. Thank you. You know, just keep thanking him for the word being true. Thank you for your help. You never leave me or forsake me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. But don't quit, because if you don't quit like Manteo, there's a silver medal for you and maybe even a gold one, but a victory. And that's what 1 Corinthians 15 says. Let me go down in the order that it was shown in this story. Faith, focus, finish. And he was invited to the White House, and he got another medal or another accommodation of or whatever, you know, just from the president to for his valor and his toughness to stay in the race. But the race that we are on takes faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says we walk by faith and not by sight. And that sight would just mean all of our senses. We don't walk by what we see or feel or hear negative against what we're believing. We don't walk it by anything other than the Word of God. We must stay focused on God's word and not the afflictions of life. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, it's all that his word says. He has an answer for everything. We keep our focus here. Focus on truth. And there is a finish of victory for everyone. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So I just want to encourage you. Stay in there. Believe. Focus. Hold on to the word, receive from the word what belongs to you, take it, and keep speaking your victory, and keep speaking, I win, thank you, Lord, for my victory. Be very thankful for everything he does for you. Every day when you get up, thank him. He's with you. His word is holding you and carrying you, and it's working in you, affecting a healing and a cure in you. So God's good. His word is true. No class next week. Derek asked me to announce that. We have a spring break. So love you all. Thank you for coming and listening so attentively. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.